where real music matters.
Absolute Radio.
This is
Jason Manford.
Jason Manford.
Good morning and a ho, ho, ho to you all. It's Jason Manford. Steve Edge is here as well. Merry Christmas, Steve Edge.
Merry Christmas, Jason.
Merry Christmas.
Ho, 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 ho.
Very good. It is. We've got a bit early this year on the Christmas, the 8th.
Yeah.
But
there's a lot of crisps to get through, though.
We've got a lot of. We've got a bit over.
I've got 15 bags.
Oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Each year, at this time of year, if regular listeners will know, we try as many Christmas limited edition stuff that we can, so you don't have to. You can just get the top recommendation from us.
And the beauty of going in early is now you can they'll still be in the shops.
That's
if you go late, they might have all sold out.
Oh, we're influencers, Steve.
That's what we are. I knew we were something.
We are influencers. And so a lot of this stuff, well, most of this stuff has been sent to us. A couple of things I've bought, but most of it's been sent to us. Don't you worry about that. We're beholden to no PR.
No.
If something's horrible, we'll tell you.
We'll tell you straight away.
No, I'm not going to be buttering anybody up. I don't need to impress the people at Morrison's.
No.
I don't owe them anything.
No.
It's pretty Morrison's base, though. We have got a lot of Morrison's.
But that wouldn't be fair if we were, you know, if we were just saying they were good when they weren't. That's not our remit.
We're
the honest guys. We're the honest guys of Christmas. There's too many sharky types around at Christmas. Not
exactly.
Us. We'll
not
tell it
us.
Like it is.
That's us. So, lots going on. A bit of alcohol. A lot of panettone. Too much panettone.
Do you even like panettone?
I don't mind it, but if I'm honest with you. Just leave it on the side, and every time I walk past, grab a handful.
Okay.
If I'm honest.
Good to know. That's the way. Yeah. I've never really known the traditional way to eat it, but that's what you do. Just leave
that's
it on the
what
side.
You do. Just leave it on the side.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when you walk past it, you just tear it off and just rip a handful
just
and
throw a bit in your gob. All right. Okay.
Yeah, that's the best thing to do. Nice, a cup of tea. You know, just it's nice. Yeah, it's all right. I don't mind it, but I will. I think there's also one still in the cupboard from last year.
It lasts.
It's a tough one to get through. So lots of Christmas stuff this morning. We're going to be chatting Christmas traditions as well, our favourite subject. Not done it for a few years, actually.
Yeah, like
Christmas
that.
Traditions, your traditions, people's traditions. My favourite topic, I don't know why, I think I love it because you grow up thinking Christmas is one way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, your Christmas is your Christmas.
It's unique, isn't it? And that's what it's Christmas unique. Is all about tradition, isn't it? And if you've got a thing that you do, then you do it.
But you sort of don't even contemplate that other people do different things.
No.
You just think everyone's doing it.
You're in your own little bubble. You're a little bauble, aren't you, really?
Exactly. And I love finding out what other people get up to at Christmas. So we'll be going through that as well. And of course, you can always email us for next week's show, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Jason Manford.
Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Everywhere you go.
Because it's not even started yet, but we are starting on the gin.
Yeah. Is this a good idea to go straight in? Because we've got liqueurs, we've got mince pies, we've got crisps.
Well,
and we're going straight in with one that's called Super Gin.
Super Gin, yeah. I don't know who this is from either.
No, I do know this is from.
Oh,
this
dear.
This is the company from...
Oh, Nelson's.
Yeah, so they did the crazy one year with the Brussels sprouts.
That's
vodka
right.
And Christmas pudding. No, it wasn't Christmas pudding. Christmas dinner, gin or something. It just
Do you know what? These, if you like gin, though, and you like a little flavour, they've got, like, rhubarb and custard and roasted pineapple.
I will say this.
Their spice
rum is
nice.
But I'm going to say it. Normally, we get a bottle of this, and we've got some little tasters.
Yeah, that's true, Nelson.
Don't get me wrong. This one here, I wish it could be Christmas every day. I've still got a bottle in there, because it's so strong, I can't drink it.
45% proof.
Still got one of them. But I've not tried the Black Forest gin or... what's the other one? Bucks Fizz Gin.
The Bucks Fizz Gin offers an unconventional twist on a festive classic, bringing the spirit of Christmas morning into every glass.
Okay, which one are we going to try?
Should we go? I was going to go Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day, Super Gin.
Okay, but that's just Super Gin. I mean, that's just, there's nothing Christmassy about that. It's just Christmas charged. I think we should try the other two.
Oh, gosh.
Have you gone straight in?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you've got a show to do later.
I know, but be all
right. Oh, you need to lie down.
No, I'll be fine. Okay, I've had a little sip of that. That is Super Gin.
I'm going to do the Bucks Fizz Gin.
Okay. I'm going to do that as well.
I've
got my little glass. Yeah, have a listen.
ASMR, isn't it? that what you say? Right. This go. Is the Bucks Fizz gin.
Okay. Oh, it's...
Oh, that's nice. I mean, it's nice because it's Bucks Fizzy. Like, you know, I'm getting a sense of oranges. But then somebody's just punched me in the back of the head with some gin. But it is nice.
Oh, you can definitely.
Do you know what? I'm going in for a second sip. That's how nice it was.
Well, that is a good sign.
Not that any breakfast.
I know we're doing this on an empty stomach. Not a great idea. Yeah. What about the Black Forest gin?
Okay. Are you doing that one there?
I'm going for that as well.
Right, let me do it. Let me open it.
Here we go. Oh, have a smell of that straight from the bottle.
Oh, that's nice, isn't
it? Definitely smells Black Foresty, doesn't it?
Let's have a go. Oh, that's nice.
Are you drinking that straight from the bottle like a wino?
Only a little bottle as well, so it's worse. It's like I've really got a problem. I've got pockets full of miniatures.
Like a fella sat on the back of a plane.
Yeah, just like with a bag that's like a tinkling bag. I went with an actor who did that once, disappeared to the toilet, came back and the bag wasn't tinkling anymore.
No.
I won't name him. I will in the break.
In the break, yeah, of course. I feel like you're in that vibe where you're drinking it straight from the bottle and then you look out the window and Santa flies past and then you empty the bottle.
Just toss it over my shoulder.
Yeah. Well, Nelson's...
The winner for me is that is the Black Forest gin.
Yeah, that Black Forest one's
if
nice.
If you can get hold of a bottle of Nelson's Black Forest gin, and if they could send us a full bottle, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because the nice, proper bottles look nice as well, big white bottles. But gin, vodka and rum they do. And even though they've done us dirty on those tiny bottles...
Mm.
We should be angry, really, but I can't stay mad at you.
No, it's made me happy, the Black Forest gin. I'm not sure how this is going to go the rest of the show now.
That has kicked it. I can feel my chest warm.
I don't think we should have started with the super gin.
Nah, I'd be fine. Shut up.
It's Christmas. You want to fight? What are you, it's your problem, mate.
We should not have started with gin, Steve.
Why did we? No, we didn't start with gin. We started with super gin.
Super gin. Yeah, exactly.
Soak it up with some stuff.
Plenty of Panettones knocking about.
I've got three Panettones. I think they're all from Lidl.
I've got one from Morrison's.
Oh,
the best. It's the one that's in the box.
What's your flavours?
I've got a passion
fruit. What's your flavour? What's your flavour?
Passion fruit martini one. I've got a pear and chocolate.
I've got pear and chocolate Panettone, yeah.
I've got a limoncello.
Yeah, I got that one.
And
I've got champagne.
Champagne? Is that in a blue bag? A blue wrapper? Ah, right, that's missing the thing for me. We should have probably prepped this, Steve.
Yeah, I've had a zin. Shut up.
Right, here we go. Rip it off.
Okay, just take a chunk off. That's the way you eat it? Is that the way they eat it in Italy, is it?
Mmm.
Smells like champagne.
That is nice.
Yeah. Well, you're the expert on the Panettone.
Well, I love a Panettone, and I feel like I'm not saying it right. I feel it should be a Panettone. Feels like it should have a bit of that.
Panettone.
But that's good. It's nice, soft, succulent. Where's that from, that one, Steve? I don't know where it's from.
I think that one's deluxe, isn't it? So I think that's Lidl.
Lidl. We got loads of Lidl stuff. Where's all the Fortnum & Mason stuff, Steve?
It was Fortnum & Mason last year.
We've absolutely been done dirty here.
That's because Adem did it last year. This is from Lidl. It's based in Surbiton, near Kingston.
I'm going to go pear and chocolate.
Oh, okay, let me try that one.
This one's Lidl.
He's Lidl as well.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like Panettones weren't a thing when we were kids. I mean, they must have been in Italy.
I feel like they've told us that they've been around forever, but they haven't.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Right, this is chocolate and pear. Yeah, you just rip a corner off and absolutely smash it.
I just went straight in the middle, the top. Took the crown off.
What do you think of the chocolate and pear?
I prefer the chocolate and pear.
Yeah.
Champagne's delicate, isn't it?
Yeah.
I need some gin to soak it up, though.
Well, I've got to say, I like dipping it in my tea.
Oh, I've got a cup of tea as well.
Have you got the biscuit?
Do you know what? This morning I got up, no bags left.
Oh, fuming.
Was that? I just dropped the kids off at, that's not a euphemism, nursery, school, obviously pre-recording this.
Yeah.
And then I came back thinking, I'll have a little Bicky Brew now.
Love
and
the Bicky
cupboard
Brew.
Was bare.
Oh, so you're just in a normal, old-fashioned brew?
I don't even know where you get it from. Sam got it.
Yeah, I think just get it. Go on Amazon, they've got all the flavours.
I ain't got time for that, I need it now.
No, fair enough. And I'm just going to quickly try...
What's the limoncello one?
No, this one's from Morrison's, and it's a passion fruit martini.
Ooh, that's, I've not got that one. That sounds nice.
It's in a box, yeah. Our indulgent buttery recipe, infested with tangy vodka.
And infested?
Passion, infested. Oh, infused.
I was going to say, infested sounds a weird thing to describe. Yeah, infused sounds better than infested. What happened? I don't know. The vodka got in there somewhere, just infested the old batch. Yeah, that sounds better.
Infused with
tangy. It means the same thing, though, really, doesn't it?
It does, really, yeah.
Infused, I'd like to be able to say that more.
Tangy vodka and passion fruit syrup and studded with Italian candied orange peel.
I can... that sounds nice.
Do you know what? That is lovely.
Anything candied always works, doesn't it?
Yeah, you can't go wrong. That's from Morrison's, and that's the cracker as well. So there you go. That's our Panettone review. Champagne one's all right, but really... just stick to the basics. Stick to the
Don't go too.
You don't need
crazy
alcohol in it. Yeah. Right. What do you want to get on to next?
I think we've had something to eat now. Yeah. We've all had a laugh. I think we should get back on the Christmas merry booze.
All right. Well, I've got some gin liqueur from Sainsbury's and some the Bailey's type thing. Cream or whatever it's called.
Oh yeah, yeah, yes. Irish cream type thing.
That's from Lidl. So I've got from Lidl. The caramel biscuit flavour.
Oh, yeah, go on.
And I've got a tiramisu flavour.
I'm just opening this.
Caramel biscuit is, like your Biscoff type job.
Oh, yeah, those little biscuits. Probably weren't a thing about 10 years ago, but now they're everywhere.
I know, and I can't work out who they're marketed for because they seem like they're everywhere and that quite a classy produce, and yet they're free in a hotel room.
Coffee shop. Yeah, and a coffee shop as well. Yeah. Like, you know, in an independent one, they go have that little biscuit.
Yeah. Well, it's like with your Ferrero Rocher, isn't it? It's all like, oh, the ambassador's reception, you are spoiling us. And then you're like, they're in Poundland.
Yeah, they're a fiver for 12.
I mean? Yeah, so they're not that fancy.
I mean, who is this ambassador? That's
the ambassador for what country?
Well, Tightwad. Country of Tightwad, the Republic of Tightwad.
Exactly.
Republic of Poundland.
Here he is. That's delicious, by the way. If you're in Lidl and you pick up the caramel biscuit,
right,
Irish cream, oh my gosh, that will go down so well. You all right there, Steve? You having a little laugh?
Get the cork off. Oh, there we go. This is gin. It's a rum liqueur from Sainsbury's. Taste the Difference range. Tiramisu flavour.
Ooh.
Oh, it smells like tiramisu. Oh,
I love a tiramisu. Good. It's actually my favourite pudding.
And it's one. I think it's mine as well. People think it's a bit basic, but I like it.
A good homemade one from an Italian.
Oh yeah, yeah. Right, let's have a go. Oh, that's nice. Yeah. It's quite sweet.
Well, yeah, I'd expect. So.
But it is nice. There's no kick with that.
No, that's the same with those Irish creams.
I mean, like drop kick. It's 20% though, so there should be. That's dangerous, isn't it?
Oh my gosh! I've got to say, I've gone back to the. I've got a tiramisu Irish cream from Lidl as well.
Oh yeah,
they are both unreal, and that's without ice.
That's your. You like that sort of flavour, don't you?
Yeah,
in
sweet,
your face.
Yeah. That creamy, is delicious.
Sugary in your face. I like this. This Sainsbury's tiramisu Taste the Difference rum liqueur is very nice.
I've got a sticky toffee pudding, one of those.
I've got a berry compote.
Oh, yeah, I've got that as well. Let me try the...
Let me try the berry. All about the sounds, isn't it? You need all the sounds.
Of course, it's radio.
There's glasses
radio.
Tinkling.
Right, I'm going to try the sticky toffee.
Okay, I'll pour after you've done that, then.
Here we go.
Go on. This is sticky toffee pudding from Sainsbury's Taste the Difference.
I mean, that's delicious as well.
Okay. They're winning, aren't they? Can you taste the difference?
Yeah, I can taste the difference.
Okay. Berry compote.
And you've got berry compote?
Berry compote. Oh, dear.
Oh, it's quite thick, the berry compote.
It's a bit like the fruit muller corner.
Yeah.
The muller fruit corner, but like a boozy.
Yeah.
Do you know that'd be nice on some ice cream, that? And some frozen berries.
Yeah, you're right, actually.
It's culinary tips.
And that's... you say tips?
Tips, yeah.
Yeah, that's a gin one.
That's not my nickname.
Gin liqueur.
It's like a drag name. If I was a chef, that would be my name. Here he is.
Culinary tips.
Old culinary tips.
Yeah, they're both good as well. They're tasty different.
Nice.
Tastes the difference. Sticky toffee, tiramisu, and berry compote.
All good.
And they're
all
in the wacky bottle.
Yeah, they look nice, actually. The bottles are nice. Yeah, stick a candle in that. And the caramel biscuit and tiramisu creams from Lidl, also an absolute winner. Oh, we're off. We're flying. How you feeling, my friend?
I'm all right. Yeah? I'm all right now. I think the Panettone's balanced me out.
Yeah, sort of does that, didn't it?
Blood alcohol level. I mean, I wouldn't say I could drive.
No.
Or operate every machinery. I mean, I said every.
You said every machinery, so that's, I mean, that's already telling me.
I should turn it up and go, am I all right to drive every machinery?
Every machinery.
What, you mean the delivery company? Every machinery. I think you need to go home. But we've got the crisps.
Yeah.
We have got the crisps to come.
We have got the crisps. Again, lot going on. I'll read you through some of the flavours we've got going on. Taste the difference. Sainsbury's turkey gravy flavour. Mm-hmm. We've got Asda's extra special pigs in blanket flavour. Camembert and roast garlic chutney. That's from Morrison's. That sounds nice. Parmesan and truffle. That's from...
I've got a lobster cocktail here. Deluxe, that's Lidl.
Lidl, I think that is. Well, lobster cocktail sounds
lobster
nice.
Cocktail.
I've got Sainsbury's Brie and Bubbly flavour.
We had something like that last year, and they've all Sainsbury's have also got a duck and spiced plum.
Hmm. I've also got a turkey tikka masala from the Co-op.
Ooh.
Right,
Co-op do a good crisp.
Yeah, the Co-op can't go wrong.
Sea salt and Chardonnay are, I think, the king of the salt and vinegars.
Right, well...
Where are you going?
Straight away, the turkey tikka masala is incredible.
Okay. Right, well,
that is full of flavour. That's from the Co-op.
I've got... Oh, it's just pigs in blankets. Asda pigs in blankets, hand-cut crisps.
Oh, yeah, I saw them. They look nice.
Yeah.
Yeah? I fancy the brie or the... Oh, I'm going to go camembert and roast garlic chutney. That's from Morrison's. Doesn't smell great, I've got to say. It smells like a wet sock.
Smell the difference.
Smell the difference, yeah. Taste is what it's about. You're not buying them for the smell.
Right, lobster cocktail. You tell that and I'm going to have a lobster cocktail away from the mic.
Oh, my God. They are nice. That's from the Morrison's, the best range.
Have you got
skin on.
Have you got lobster cocktail?
I've not got there yet. What,
get on the lobster cocktail, I'm telling you.
Have you got duck and spice plum flavour?
Lobster cocktail, Lidl. It's got a kind of, it's a full crisp, like a crunchy crisp. But it's got a little bit of a taste of a Skip's prawn cocktail.
Oh, nice.
It's like a hot, it's like a sweet prawn cocktail.
Let's have a go.
No, I think you'd like that. Because it's that flavour, but in a different form, not in a soft, melty mouth form. I quite like that.
They're working for me.
Like Skip's, but in a proper crisp.
Hard Skip's.
Yeah, exactly. Mmm, right, well... Some absolute beauties there. I've got to say, that camembert and roast garlic chutney from Morrison's, that might be my favourite.
What?
I've not gone King Prawn and Marie
I've
Rose.
Put too many crisps in, hang on.
From Walker's, because I feel like that will be like prawn cocktail, basically.
Sensation.
The Sensations one, but the Sensations roast ham is delicious as well. You can't go wrong with crisps. And I'm not a massive crisp man, but they are...
I like a crisp, and I'm telling you now, I think the lobster cocktail from Lidl, they're a little bit special, I think.
You having that?
Yeah.
Have you tried turkey gravy flavour from Sainsbury's? That's pretty delicious as well. Woo! We are on it.
Smashing the crisps.
And I'm just turkey trying this.
Gravy. Is that the Taste of Difference one?
Yeah. They're nice.
Hmm? Oh, yeah. And they're ridged.
They're ridged as well. Bit of extra class, that.
They all mention British turkey and British potatoes, don't they? Like, like that's a thing I consider when I'm eating crisps.
Yeah.
No, not a foreign potato, is it?
No, but I guess, you know, it's good for better for the environment, isn't it?
I suppose.
I've just had a little bit more of my berry compote gin liqueur as well.
You're going to be smashed.
Mate.
I love you.
Yeah, you want to fight?
We'll fight them.
Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Oh, I tell you what, that's 45% gin's gone to me, Ed.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's more than three bags of crisps.
Yeah, they've gone to my belly.
They've gone straight to my heart.
I love Christmas.
Yeah,
it is
I'm
the
a
best
big
time.
Christmas fan.
I am. I love it. My Christmas traditions have sort of slightly changed now because this is the third year that I'm doing Panto.
Yeah, so it's different, isn't it?
It is different, but it's funny how quickly you get used to a new way of doing things, especially when everyone's happy. Like, you know, the way we work now, it's the, you know, obviously I've got rehearsals and stuff, but that's nice because I'm done for five and I'm home in the evenings for sort of 2 weeks while we rehearse.
Yeah.
And then even when the show's on, because it's a, you know, because it's a family, it's you're sort of done for about 9:20.
It's not too bad, is it?
And get home for 10, you know, up for the school run, little gym or whatever in the morning after that, and then in the and then obviously in the when Christmas kicks in, you've got all day till sort of 1 o'clock before the show starts. So it actually works out quite nice, and the kids love it because they come and watch the show, and for a couple of weeks while I'm doing it when they're still at school, all their mates have seen it as well.
Yeah, that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, and you like it, and the kids become a bit of a celebrity for a bit in school. I saw your dad in Panto.
Nice.
So, yeah, I do like that. 2 billion people, over 160 countries celebrate Christmas.
Really?
Steve,
that
yeah.
Many?
Oh. 2 billion. In the UK, 10 million turkeys are cooked and eaten every Christmas.
Mm. Yeah.
And 2.1 billion Christmas cards are sent. Now, that surprises me.
You're not a card sender?
I'm not really. I don't think the cards are what they used to be. Remember, you used to get the little string and put it across the wall?
I like a card. We still do cards.
Them.
I mean, the numbers have dwindled. Do you know what I mean? The people who, you notice the people who, and you know, people who, you know, go, oh, we've given some money to charity, so
yeah,
we're not doing cards this year. And you go, what charity?
Yeah, just, I'd like some more details. Send me the link.
Yeah, and I don't like an e-card.
I don't think I've ever had a Christmas card off you.
I'm sure you have.
Maybe
you're off my list.
Maybe I'm off the list.
Sent one back.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Doesn't seem very Christmassy. That's all I'll say.
It's not one strike and you're out. I give people like 3 or 4 years grace, and then
right.
I go, maybe they've been busy this year. Oh, well, maybe they forgot this year. And then I go, right, you're off the list.
Does this really go on your?
It's more memory, isn't it?
Does this go on your letter when you're opening up the?
Yeah.
All the people bad do not write Christmas cards
bad guys
to these
from
people.
This year include Straighten at number one, Jason Manford. Right, I'm going to send you a card this year. You're getting a card.
I'm going to send you one. And yours will be the only one I send.
Okay, well, that's fine. So, that's fair enough.
Tinsel was invented in Germany in 1610. It was originally made from real silver and was more of a luxury decoration than what it is today. Yeah, get it? Was.
It's a pound now in Tesco, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And also, I mean, we have this argument every year. Why won't our wives let us put tinsel on the tree?
Well, like I said last year, I think a couple of years ago, I did try it and it looked awful. So I couldn't, you know.
Oh, really?
With that brazen. I was like, she was like, it looks awful. And I was like, no. Maybe it was longer. Maybe it needs to be longer.
Yeah.
Know, like
what about
2 metre?
What about coloured lights? Have you managed to get that back in yet?
I've been coloured lights for 5 years. No one's going to change my mind.
No, I think coloured lights are great as well.
No way forward. I mean, if you've got white lights and they're, you know, the proper incandescent bulbs, lovely glow, fine. But if you've got piercing LEDs,
no, they're not good. That's not good.
No one needs that.
No, agreed. Well, it sounds like a lot of our Christmas traditions join up, to be honest, Steve.
Yeah. Well, it's,
I think
like
we'd
it's,
have been
it's,
all right.
You take a little bit of, you know, when you were growing up, don't you? Try and give a bit of that to your kids.
No, I mean, yeah, there's lots of things that are very different now. But I'm going to get into your traditions. I've been going through some of those that you've sent in and posted on social media. And I love what you've sent. So stick around for a bit of that. Maybe you'll get some ideas from them as well.
Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
I tell you what I have got here, Steve. The deluxe again. We've been sent a lot of stuff from the Lidl.
I would say Lidl stuff and Co-op. I've got Co-op.
Yeah,
stuff.
I'd say we've got maybe a box full of Lidl stuff, a big box. I reckon it's good, probably £8.50 worth of stuff.
A big
in
Lidl
there.
Box.
Yeah, the brandy crumble mince pie and the salted caramel crumble mince pie.
Yeah, tried that.
Yeah, the brandy one's
nice. Clear
of
the salted caramel. You know me. You know my views on salted caramel.
Well, where did it come from?
It's everywhere. It's everywhere. You know.
Well, it's like your Biscoff, isn't it? You know what I mean?
It's like your Biscoff.
Where have they come from? It's in everything.
I've got some Co-op. I'm going to try these. Blood orange and chocolate frangipan. mince pies.
I mean, it's a departure, isn't it? But
I smashed one of them before. Lovely.
Nice.
Mmm. Really nice.
Is the foil coming off?
Quite a lot. Quite a lot, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's dense. Oh, it's nice, though.
Nice, though. The French pan's nice, isn't it?
Mmm. If they put that, if you put Heston on that and sold it in Waitrose and said it was blood orange, said what it is, you'd go with that.
You would. No messing. So, mince pies are very much part of our Christmas tradition.
Yeah.
We make them. We get lots of different ones. We go to Costco and get those ones with a little sponge top. Love them.
Nice.
Big tray of them. These little things become our tradition. But what I'm always interested in is when you get with somebody new, I love that you bring a bit from your childhood, they bring a bit from their childhood.
Yeah.
And together you create a brand new Christmas for maybe the next generation.
Yeah, and like I've said, there's a weird thing Tam's mum used to do where they'd have a video cassette of a roaring fire.
Yeah.
And they'd put that on when they're opening the presents. Now, we've got a fire now, but we still have to put the video on. And then with a real fire underneath it, because it's part of the tradition.
Yeah, I guess so. That makes sense. I quite like that, though, the old Netflix where you can select the fire.
Oh, no, it's nice. That Sky do it as well, I think, yeah.
Yeah, it's good, that. Claire has said, my partner's family don't open their presents until after Christmas dinner, which is criminal.
What are you doing all morning? Just sort of itching to open your presents.
I read something on Twitter which said... The longer you leave present opening, the more middle class you are.
That sounds about right.
I think that's right.
I think that's right with your evening meal as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Quarter past five, my brother. Even now, my brother rings. He's 40 and he rings you at like five.
Is that when he opens?
Yeah, he's up. He's dead early.
Yeah, proper working class.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the problem where you meet somebody and they have a Christmas tradition where you're like, what is it? We like to go for a long Christmas walk, really, before we open our presents.
Save all that for Boxing Day. You know what I mean? There's nothing to do, is there?
No. The one I always say is when I was at the in-laws one Christmas and they all just started opening presents at the same time, like barbarians.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this?
It's finding the mix. It depends how many people are there with that, because you can't open one at a time when there's a lot of people.
Well,
there.
What else are you doing?
It takes forever, though.
No, I don't mind that. I'm fine with that.
No, I don't. I want it to be done in like an hour and a half tops. I don't want to be opening presents for 4 hours. I remember one year we had a break. We're like, we're stopped there for a bit because, you know, we've just got like present fatigue.
I mean, through the years, my Christmases have changed dramatically.
Yeah, I imagine.
Obviously, I had my own Christmases when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And then that changes when you leave. You go to university and you come back at Christmas. You've not even got a bedroom anymore and you're on the couch, or whatever. And I had younger brother and sister, like much younger, 17 years younger. So
it's all about them then, isn't it?
Yeah, then they started. And then you get, and I got married the first time and then we had our Christmases. Then divorce Christmas, that wasn't fun. That's the pot noodle
Christmas.
That's the crying into every Christmas song. This is talking to me.
Yeah, you can use those tears though to warm up the noodles.
Yeah. And then of course then I'm remarried and all that. But then there's this weird one where for a while and a lot of divorced people will get this, divorced parents, where you sort of obviously you both want them on Christmas Day. You both want your kids on Christmas Day. And we did a couple of years of like, right, I'll have them for the morning and then you have them for the afternoon.
Yeah.
And then there's just a point where you both have just got to have a word with each other and just go, right, we're doing that so we both see them on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And actually because basically what you're saying to a kid is, open all your stuff, now leave it, come
go
over
somewhere
in
else.
And open a load more stuff. And they're like, this isn't fun. So now we alternate. The actual Christmas day. And this is my year. We got the matching pyjamas. Do you do matching pyjamas?
Always do matching pyjamas.
Love matching pyjamas. That's a nice tradition.
I'm trying to work out if we've got some this year. I think we have.
We ordered ours a few weeks back because you've got to get in early on the Christmas pyjamas.
You don't.
You don't want to have just what's left.
No. Some good Shrek ones in Primark, though, I did
see. Next year, I want to go for the ones
not
where
Shrek.
They do...
Grinch, sorry.
Oh,
Shrek.
The Grinch. Yeah,
that makes
more
sense.
Same.
Green, innit?
Same shade. I think green people all look the same. It's a problem. Elphaba, they're all in there. I like the ones where the T-shirts have got your family on them.
Yeah.
And they're like a cartoon version. That looks pretty cool. So that's a nice little tradition. I like that. Derek says, the first time I spent Christmas with my in-laws, they started Christmas morning with a swim in the cold Atlantic water of the west coast of Ireland.
That's different, isn't
it? I've seen that, though. I've had a Christmas in Ireland.
I could get on board that.
It's actually good. Right. Yeah. It's actually all right. Yeah, I quite like that. I wonder if there's any Christmas Day morning swims near where you live or I live.
There will be loads where I am.
You're right on the coast, aren't you?
Yeah, there'll be loads down here. Just loonies with a dry robe coats on.
They have seen so many dry robe. Where have they come from all of a sudden?
Again, everywhere. It's
absolutely the sort
of
huge
physical equivalent of Andouja sausage and salted caramel.
Yeah. it is. I've not got one, but people are just using them to like walk the dog in and stuff.
I know. Do you fancy one a bit, though?
Yeah, I do. Well, I did, if you ever listen to The Drive Time or follow Andy Bush on Absolute, he does not like the dry robe.
No, I think they're like the Crocs, aren't they? They divide people. Yeah.
Yeah, he seems to have a go at people with the dry robe.
It is a thing. I think people don't like it. I think down here there's a big thing. People don't like people with the dry robes.
It's like, maybe it is the old, it's sort of the version of Crocs. Yeah, maybe you're right there. Mm. Kimberly says, first time I had Christmas with my in-laws, we were sat having a drink on Christmas Eve. Then they handed out presents and started opening them.
What, all the presents or like a special, like she's, little treat, one present?
She says, I felt like we were breaking Christmas.
Well,
I agree.
That's the Germany, they do that, don't they?
Yeah, but I think it's all right if the presents are some pyjamas or something for sleeping.
No, that's... Do you do that? That's a thing, isn't it? A little box for the kids with a pair of pyjamas in and maybe a little candy cane or something. Just a tiny thing.
I don't do anything on Christmas Eve.
No, we started doing that a couple of years ago. Just a pair of fresh pyjamas, just in case Santa comes in, you know, so you just check.
Well, we've got the matching pyjamas, so we know what we're wearing anyway.
I know, but you can wear those. This is just... Yeah, well, yeah, you can pop those in there. But, you know...
Could do, I suppose, yeah. But, no, I like to... For me, we're pretty... So obviously Santa's been, and at our house, he fills the stocking up, and the stocking is in their room.
Oh, so is that when he arrives at Christmas Eve, you mean? Late?
Yeah, so it's quite nice, actually, because what it means for us is you get about 45 minutes of the kids are just busy.
Oh, so they open those upstairs?
Yeah, they just crack on with the with that stuff. And then they come downstairs for the big stuff that Santa's left downstairs as well, and... And obviously we buy some stuff as well and buy for each other. So it's nice little system going on. And obviously as a dad, sat in a corner with a black bag, collecting all the wrapping paper. Yeah. Susan says, my ex-partner used to have a tradition where kids would have to take it in turns to open one present at a time whilst everyone watches. We had four kids, so the present opening ceremony used to take hours. That's correct, Susan. Your ex-partner is correct. No, it's correct.
No, it's not. You've got to find the happy middle ground between like one present each and then you all open a present. You know what I mean? That's a middle ground.
What else are you doing, though? It's Christmas Day.
If you've got sort of seven people there all staring at somebody, they open it, and it's not their main present, you know, because it's one of the early ones, and you go, it's a spanner.
I think you're wrong on this one.
Like a camper van. No.
I think you're wrong.
One each. I think that's a good idea.
No.
Forever in your
own. It does take forever with six kids.
I see what you've done with they're opening some in their room upstairs.
Get that done first. Lindsay's quoted a bit of Victoria Wood. Victoria Wood's got a bit on this, I think, on like people's traditions at Christmas, middle class traditions. Yeah, we always sing Little Donkey in a 12 part harmony in the garden at midnight.
It's a joke, but it sounds quite good.
It does sound quite fun. One year when my nana was getting old, she was always old. She was from when I was born. But, when she was in her 90s, for her 90th, I got the local Samaritans to come and play on Christmas morning, made a donation. They came and played on our driveway
a load of
brass songs. Yeah, do you remember? I posted some videos to you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it was so beautiful. It was magical.
Yeah, something about a hymn, I think.
Yeah.
It's very good.
I love it. And we got Lynn, who says, every year my family name the turkey after the person who's annoyed us the most.
That's good. Yeah,
quite nice.
Good. We always have two because we have a lot of people over. We have two medium-sized turkeys, and then it'll always be a double act. I think, and some Deck, Laurel Hardy.
That's nice, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Pete says, our family used to use an old football sock as our stocking. Cut to the first Christmas with the in-laws when I was told to bring my stocking. Turns out they display the stockings on the fireplace for the 23rd. Humiliating hanging my old football sock next to personalised custom-made stockings. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Yeah, just hanging up. What?
Yours is just
he's quite lucky there. I think I used to get a pair of my mum's tights, just one leg of the tights.
Yeah, that rings a bell, actually.
It might even have been a full pair.
Things have changed. Yeah. Things have changed. I love these. If you follow me on social media, fire them over to me because I could literally read about your Christmases all day. I find it fascinating.
Where real music matters.
This is Absolute Radio.
Absolute Radio.
Jason Manford.
Interestingly, Steve, there is an Absolute Radio Christmas party station now.
Oh yeah.
All the hits, you know, half the songs are pure Christmas, half they're pure party, and it's on Absolute Radio Premium. It's £3.99 a month. It's T's and C's, and all the details are on absoluteradio.co.uk. But I want to know from you, when you get to Christmas and you pop your Christmas playlist on, what's the first three songs that you want to hear?
I don't want to hear Fairy Tale of New York until later because I feel like that's sort of towards the end of Christmas. I do like that. I want to hear Greg Lake, I Believe in Father Christmas, that one.
And I believed in Father Christmas.
The Christmas you get, you deserve.
You know, I'll be at Heaven and Hell. The Christmas you get, you deserve. That one.
Do you remember that a few years ago?
I want to hear Christopher, A Spaceman Came Travelling.
Spaceman came travelling, a ship from afar.
Yeah.
And it's
a belter, isn't it?
I love it.
Absolute belter. And I want to hear
2,000 years of your love has gone by.
I want to
hear.
You can't help it, can you?
And that is the tiramisu rum liqueur kicking in.
Yeah. It takes a while, that one. It's a slow burner.
they're all good choices.
All good, and I think I like Mud, Lonely This Christmas.
It'll be lonely this Christmas.
Oh, I love that. That sort of like Elvis impersonation.
He's doing an Elvis impersonator, but it's nice, isn't it? It's very.
I like it.
Yeah, they're my three.
Yeah, yeah.
The first three. What was your first three?
I like. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. I'm into that. And I love the Bublé version of that as well.
Oh, no, you don't go Dean Martin then?
I do love Dean Martin, and I listen to him for a lot
Dean
of the
Martin.
Other ones.
Dean Martin? Is that the rule?
Dean Martin.
That's Bing Crosby.
That's Bing Crosby. I tell you what, I like Bing Crosby. I like him. Do you hear what I hear?
I like that one, but I like the one with David Bowie when he's broken to his house to play his piano. What are you doing here? I just thought I'd come in your house and play your piano. No, I'm calling the police. One of your eyes is different to the other eye.
Oh, I
yes,
know. Yes,
I'm an alien. Okay. Can someone call the police?
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah. Peace on earth. Shouting over him. He's singing his own song.
I know.
Bing's just trying to sing his song.
Come, they tell you, ba-ra-pa-pa. Peace on earth.
You're ruining this. It's meant to be a Christmas special, isn't
it? Where real music matters.
This is Absolute Radio.
Absolute Radio.
Jason Manford.
There was a little bit in the paper this week about what your Christmas baubles say about you, Steve.
What do you mean? The way
you decorate your Christmas tree reveals more about your taste and style than you might think. If you've braved the Christmas shops or department stores lately, you'll know that we're in the midst of a bauble mania. There are so many niche ornaments on offer. Yeah. It's as if every personal circumstance, taste and whim has been considered. According to The Telegraph, the diversification of baubles means every social stereotype is catered for.
Yeah.
What does your tree say about you? The minimalist. No one can accuse you of having poor taste. You insist on decorating your tree with only matte white baubles made from porcelain, glass or paper, never plastic. You prefer quality of quantity over quantity when it comes to the number of baubles and are the envy of your neighbourhood. Or are you the sentimental? Oh my God, why have I chosen this? I actually can't even speak.
45% that super gin.
The sentimentalist.
Oh dear. Yeah.
That's right. I said that right.
What's the sentimentalist?
Bauble blindness is real, and you're unaware of the gradual decay of your love-worn decorations, often containing moth-eared ornaments made by children, family heirlooms from grandparents. Yeah. There may also be odd spray-painted twig or pine cone you collected near
the meta. That's your house. That you're over the yeah.
What about the fashionista? This might be you. The most high-end style tree decorated with fashionable baubles. Should any gaps remain, you cleverly fill that with pearl strings and ribbons.
I think I'm a mixture of all three, you know.
About the traditionalist? Oh, my God. What about the traditionalist?
What about him?
The traditionalist.
Hey,
Oh, do you know what? I've actually got my son's lost his two front teeth, and he's learnt the song "All I Want for Christmas Is My Two Front Teeth." It's so cute. The thought of air fryer shaped baubles and glass replicas in celebrities fill you with dread. Your inspiration is a Victorian Christmas card, classic glass baubles, orange pomanders, and paper angels. Your tree is often decorated at exactly the same time each year, while watching the same movie, listening to the same song, and recalling exactly the same memories. I think we're a bit of that, mate.
I think I'm a bit of that, but I'm a mixture of all the things. I think we have got funky modern decorations.
Are you the maximalist?
What's the maximalist?
You have bauble habits, adding to your tree every year and expanding your collection. You're not afraid of baubles that can replicate your party food provisions like candy floss machines, popcorn makers, or even pink fondant fancies. Unlike the traditionalist, there's a high chance you may find a replica of Mariah Carey, George Michael, Freddie Mercury, or even Grace Jones hanging from one of the branches. I have actually got a David Bowie.
I think you're allowed. We've got a David Bowie. I think you're allowed one, but I wouldn't. Yeah. You know, that's what I'm saying. It's a little bit of everything. I think we've got old baubles from the sort of 70s. We've got modern funky ones. We've got ones with a bit of swearing on. We've got ones. We've got one of a loo roll that was like during the pandemic. There was a loo roll one. Do you remember that? Because of the loo roll thing. So we've got lots of memories. We've got one of either of the cats that we bought from Germany. There was a black and white cat and a ginger cat. And when they die, I'll tell you, those decorations will be like, oh, dear.
Yeah. We should post pictures of our trees online and see if people like them.
Mine is vibrant.
All right.
Mine looks like a drag queen's died in the corner, and this is a floral, like, you know, remembrance to them.
A what?
Remembrance. I don't even know if that was the right word anyway.
Hit me with your best facts.
Oh.
Fire away!
Woo! Oh, I like how Christmassy it is.
Yeah, isn't it Christmassy?
could
be number one, that.
Do you reckon that could be a Christmas number one?
Easy.
I think so. I love how Christmassy it is.
I feel like Pat Benatar might come after us. But, you know.
Oh, we're in trouble. We are in trouble. So we've got a little bit of hit me with your best Christmas facts this morning. Kelly kicks us off. And she says, the person that wrote the Shaking Stephens Merry Christmas Everyone song.
Yeah, I like that at Christmas. That's a good one.
Go on, give us a little rendition.
It just reminds me. That was my childhood. That sort of came out about 1984, 85. And I remember my mum had that single. And that's a good one. I like that one.
Yeah, I like it as well. I think someone tried to do like a version of it a few years ago where it was a bit slow and...
No, that was him. We went to that Royal
thing. That's right.
And he came on. Everyone did the hits. You know, everyone
just... Was that the one I hosted for Sky?
Yeah, and then he came on and did this like banjo version. Snow with a bowling. We were like, mate,
don't mess around.
And then there was like a really dark version of Driving Home for Christmas.
it sounded like a serial killer.
It sounded like someone off The Traitors. Driving home for Christmas.
Yeah, that's right. Snow is falling around me. Yeah, it was weird, wasn't it?
Stuff, wasn't it?
Also, I feel like I got a bit stuffed there by Sky. I remember they said to me, we're going to do this Christmas special and we're going to do one every year and you can host it. I thought, brilliant. I'll be like the Michael Bublé of Britain and I'll host this Christmas extravaganza every year. They made one. It was so good and solid. Yeah, it was brilliant.
They just play it every year.
Just play it every year because nobody cares. Nobody can remember. Don't matter. Got absolutely shafted. So anyway, McKelly was telling us that the person that wrote Merry Christmas Everyone for Shaking Stevens is the same person that wrote the theme tune to Pat Sharp's Funhouse and the cartoon Trapdoor. Don't you open that trapdoor.
Something down there.
Yeah.
And what was the other one?
Fun house, there's a whole lot of fun. Prizes to be won. It's a really wacky show where anything can go.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Fun house.
I feel like that was the peak then, Shaking Stevens, if that's the other stuff.
I think he definitely peaked on Shaking Stevens, I would say.
He must have written more.
Stay away from that trap door. Although that was a good pretty, one. That was a good tune, to be fair.
I think
fair.
That's better, actually.
Yeah. that's a good one, that. I'm enjoying that one so far. This one from Phil, who says, how about a Christmas fact, a Lego fact, and an octopus fact all rolled into one, lads?
I don't think I can cope with this.
Wow, Phil!
If he's pulled this off, not the tentacle, but if he's pulled it off, then come on, what is it?
I don't know if I can carry on reading it. No. I'm too excited.
Too excited.
There's a lot vested on this. Day. This is like opening a present.
Yeah.
Christmas fact, a Lego fact, and an octopus fact all rolled. How is it even possible?
I don't know.
All right, here we go. Okay. Brace yourself, Steve. You sat down?
I'm lying down. In the gym.
Lego sell the same amount of sets per second at Christmas as the number of milliseconds it takes an octopus to change colour. I mean, fair play.
I mean,
so he's used some of probably our other facts to create this sort of Franken
together,
fact.
Yeah,
hasn't he?
Yeah, he has a bit. I didn't even know octopuses change colour. I found
that
out.
Well, they change colour in the fight, don't they? The one who turns.
Oh, yeah, that's
wins.
Right. We found that out, didn't we? Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that is. I mean, do you know what I like about that, Steve? That fella listens to this show a lot.
Yeah, he knows what's going to tickle our fancy.
Do you know what I mean? All he could have done there to improve that is said, and it's the same amount of time that it takes the glass to break when you put someone's windows through.
Yeah.
That's the only way he could have improved that.
That's the only way he could have improved. If you put a sloth through a window.
Darren tells us that the first Christmas film was in 1898 and lasted just 76 seconds.
Oh, that was the first Christmas film, was that?
Yeah.
It was just some sort of snow or something.
Okay. No, pretty good, isn't it? Mm. Pretty good. And Mark says, the largest Christmas pudding ever made weighed an astonishing 3.28 tonnes. The enormous pudding was crafted by the villagers of Orton in Lancashire in July 1992. Mm. The pudding's creation was part of the Orton Pudding Festival, an event celebrated only once every 21 years. I don't think they're fully invested into the pudding festival.
I bet they still haven't eaten it. I bet they're still they found it in a cupboard in June and gone, oh, we didn't have the Christmas pudding. You know, the massive Christmas pudding, we didn't have it. Find it in an aircraft hangar in June.
That also means we've just missed it as well. That must have just been last year that they.
Oh yeah, because it's 21 year.
Is that right? No, have I done the maths wrong?
I don't know.
What's 92? 92 plus 21.
No,
that's 2013, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh right, so we're fine. We're actually early.
Yeah.
Phew.
We're ready for the next one, though.
8 years left yet. The process took 8 days to complete, highlighting both the community's dedication and their love for festive traditions, and remains a record-breaking dessert. Well, I don't think that's going to get beaten, is it?
Do you think it's like, is it like, you know, if you grabbed a handful of it, would it be just like a Christmas pudding? Or have they gone, because it's that big, we won't bother to chop the fruit because there's no point?
Well, I guess so, yeah. And how big's the coin inside? Do the fire brigade have to come before they set it on fire?
Yeah, it has to be controlled fire.
There's a risk assessment
before you light it.
I love a Christmas pudding.
We've just found ours. And like I said, we found ours in the cupboard the other week. And
I've got...
We can have that this year then.
Yeah, I've definitely got last year's one still knocking about. Yeah. But I like it. Do you have it with a bit of brandy butter? Or
I have it with brandy butter and I will set fire to it with a bit of brandy on top.
Do you know why we set it on fire?
No.
It represents the passion of Christ.
Does it?
Traditionally, there were 13 ingredients in the pudding. Yeah. That was for Christ's 13 disciples. Obviously, we don't talk about the 13th guy. Remember. 12. Yeah. He had 12 disciples and a traitor.
Is that the fire? Is he the fire? He should be the fire.
He should be, really. And, you know, some say that the holly on top represents the sort of crown of thorns and... Mm.
Yeah, it's sort of part pagan as well, isn't it, Christmas, you know, with the...
Yeah,
you
know, it's got a lot of that going on as well, hasn't it?
You know, with the mistletoe, you know.
Do you know they banned the Christmas pudding for a little while?
Why?
Have a guess who did that.
Was it Henry VIII?
Nearly. Who's the biggest douche in our history?
Donald Trump?
No, in our history.
In our history.
Britain. Who's the one that every time you go, Oh, of course he did. What a misery. Thomas Cromwell.
Cromwell, not Thomas.
Absolute fun sponge.
No, I know.
He banned the eating of Christmas pudding and all festive merry carols.
Because he never got the coin. Did he not get the coin?
He tried to tackle festive gluttony and restore Christmas to its religious roots. So instead, he said, instead of a feast day, he said it should be a fast day. Oh. He just took the letter E out.
Yeah.
And luckily, Charles Seconds came in and went, do one.
Yeah.
Do one, Cromwell.
Not on my watch.
Get me pudding back.
I better go and sort that out.
Absolute numpty. Terrible, terrible idea. I think you can do both. You can have a load of food and have a great time and also pop to church and have a couple of carols and do what
Christmas
you need to do.
Is, as it says on my list, Christmas is about success.
The Christmas
whatever
you get.
Whatever that is. Hallelujah, Noel, be it heaven or hell. The Christmas you get, you deserve.
Never gets boring. It's going to have to go some way to beat orcas wearing salmon's as hats.
Yeah.
From last week, but
it's
a belter, that one. Absolute smasher. Maybe even the best one of the year.
Could be.
If we did a year one.
Is perfect.
Morning. Nice salmon.
Thank you very much.
I'm saving it for later. So, we didn't have loads today because we were reviewing stuff as well, but this is the ones we had. We had Shakin' Stevens, the fella who wrote the song Merry Christmas. We didn't have Shakin' Stevens, we had Kelly talking about Shakin' Stevens. The song Merry Christmas Everyone was written by the same guy who wrote Fun House, A Whole Lot of Fun, and
Don't Whip from that Trap Door.
That one. We were told about the largest Christmas pudding ever made in the village of Orton in Lancashire, 92, 3.28 tonnes. That was Mark. We also had an incredible three-way with Phil.
Quite special, that.
Yeah, Christmas fact, Lego fact, and an octopus fact all rolled into one. Pretty good. Yeah, that was pretty good, wasn't it? Yeah. And we had Darren tell us that the Christmas film in 1898 lasted only 76 seconds. So, only 42 for Steve.
I mean, he's put so much work into the Lego fact, the octopus fact, and the Christmas fact. I think you have to. You have to give that.
I think so. I think you've got to support that kind of dedication.
Yeah, and going forward, I think that's something people should consider. You know, if you can try and get some of the, you know, some of the touch points that the show works on. There's not many, so it doesn't take long.
Exactly. And I think it's one of those things, you know, it's not like, you know, it's subjective, this game, isn't it? It's not like the best, you know, the one with the most words in it, or the, you know, it's subjective. So you've got to look at the judges. It's only me and you.
Yeah.
You just got to tickle me and Steve a little bit.
That's exactly, yeah. That's what
tickle us with your best facts. So that's what you've done there. And has he tickled you, Steve?
Yeah, he's tickled me. A Christmas tickle.
He has absolutely tickled me. So, Phil, well done. You will be getting a Absolute Radio mug, generic radio mug. We used to have specific ones for this show.
Yeah, that's not a thing anymore. Like, At one point, we asked for plates with our face on.
Egg cup. When I first started this show, Steve, I had egg cups.
Well, that made sense, didn't it? Breakfast, didn't it?
Because they were breakfast. Yeah, I had egg cups.
And it sounds cheaper than a cup.
Well, I thought so. But now it's just a generic mug that anyone can get. You can't use it. The paint is toxic.
I bet if you were on eBay, typed in Absolute Radio mug, I bet you'd get one for about 50p.
I think if you Google Absolute Radio mug, a picture of me comes up signing my contract.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Because every time I just go, can I get a specific prize for this thing? And they go, yeah, just sign this and then we'll sort it out next week. And then I sign it and they go, psych?
Yeah. See you generic, in July.
Generic mug, loser. Yeah. Anyway, Phil, you win the Absolute Radio mug this week. Well done for putting that effort in. We really appreciate it. And more Hit Me With Your Best Facts. Well, we've got one more show before Christmas, but back to next year as well. So keep thinking. There's loads of facts. We never run out. That's what's beautiful about it. Thanks for joining us this morning here on Absolute Radio. We love a little festive spirit. Hope it's made you feel a bit Christmassy this morning. Are you feeling Christmassy, Steve?
I've been in for a while. I'm very, very much ready for Christmas. Go for it.
I love it. I love it. I hope you have a lovely, lovely Sunday and a great week prepping for Christmas, getting everything sorted. And we will see you this time next week for our final show of the year here on Absolute Radio. I kick off with Cinderella in Manchester this week as well. You've got a Christmas special of
Madame Blanc. Madame Blanc, yeah, I don't know when it's on yet. I'm not sure. But usually with about 20 seconds.
Well, oh, okay. So we've got another little bit of time. Yeah, fine. We'll know next week then about that. But if I see you at the Opera House in Manchester for a bit of panto action, great. But even if you've just got a local panto for where you are in your local theatre, go and support that theatre. Often panto is the show that keeps the theatre alive throughout the year. That's the one that raises the most money for those local theatres. That's why anybody has a go at it. Oh, panto. Well, it's a bit... I go, you know, the fact you'll see the Cherry Orchard in May is because I did Cinderella in December, mate. Let's just remember that. Yeah. Anyway, that's just my little rant about theatre. I will see you next week. Have a lovely week. I need to go and have a lie down and...
just a coffee. Or eat some... I've dressed that tiramisu.
A bit more panettone. Okay.